Our gospel reading today is taken from the 13th chapter of Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.' Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This image, I put this on the cover because the theme for Jesus, at least in this moment of the story in Luke, is about determination. And he's speaking right now prophetically, and I could look that up, but I'm not going to in my dictionary because I like looking up words in this dictionary. But I did look it up, and prophetic means to speak the truth. And sometimes it might mean to speak the truth into the future, you know, where things come true. But it means to speak the truth. So there are times in my life where my 25-year-old nephew, when I was his 10-year-old uncle, gave me a thing that's been the truth for me, that's been this gift for me, because he said, "You will need this. If you want to enjoy life and learn what life is all about, use this book, dig into it. This is a lifetime of goodness in here." And he instilled that in me, you know, and what a great gift. And so Jesus is speaking this truth here in this moment, in this prophetic moment, and it's kind of like throughout the, I mean, like he starts chapter 9, verse 51, he had his face to Jerusalem. So he's on this determined path, and nothing's going to get in the way. Not even these Pharisees who say, "Hey, Herod's after you. You better skedaddle." And he says, "No, I've got some stuff to do." And then he's nonstop quoting scripture. He's speaking the truth. That image of the hen gathering her chicks, that comes from Deuteronomy. It comes from the Psalms. It's everything he's saying at this point is scripture. He's just throwing scripture after scripture and putting it all together and saying, "This is what it's about. I'm here to remind you, this is what it's about." If you know who Michael B. Curry is, you know who that is? Bishop of the Episcopal Church, who did the wedding for in England, you know. He gets excited about things. But he had a commentary on this text, and this is what he says. "For Jesus, God's passionate dream, compassionate desire, and bold determination is to gather God's human children closer and closer in God's embrace and love." That's what that image is, that image of gathering. And I looked online to see how that works for hens and for chickens. And if you haven't done that, I think that's why I've always been afraid of chickens, because those hens, they don't mess around. They don't mess around. You get near those chicks, they will, you know, I saw an eagle go in and the chicken won, you know. I know that doesn't always happen because nature is nature, but it's amazing the veracity of these mother hens. So there's this wonderful image that Jesus lifts up. "Oh, how I wish to gather you. How I wish to gather you." And so me, as I was thinking about that image, I was thinking about my nephew Mark and all of the people in my life who have been like that, who have come at a moment where I needed it. I think this is partly what Jesus is getting at. After I got that, one of the other people who was an influencer, you know, I grew up as an only child, like I may have said 1,000 times, and live with my mom. So I'd visit my dad in San Francisco, but I really didn't have a dad present with me. But I had a lot of men in my life who at the right moments, like that dictionary moment, taught me some stuff. Every Saturday, I could not wait for the Stanwood News to come to our house, because the first thing I would do, what do you think is the first thing I would do? Stanwood News comes once a week. I did not do the crossword puzzle. I am not good at that. I couldn't wait for Billy Graham to tell me how life was going to be. Every time, that's the first thing I do, the Billy Graham. I mean, as a I was a weird third grader, just to be clear. But I was on an island where, you know, this is what you had. Because, boy, he had a way, and I was just listening this morning to one of the Sirius radio stations, the Praise Station, and there was a song with Billy Graham was saying, you know, do you know where you're going to be? Because I do, because I know. Jesus is my life, and now's the time for Jesus to be. I mean, yeah, you know, I just got sucked right in back to my, you know, I loved hearing him, you know, when I would hear him on the radio or recordings, you know, you remember cassettes and albums. and the church I grew up in was very much Billy Graham oriented. I could not wait for his wisdom. And it always hit me. Every time, every Saturday, there was just something, some phrase. It was a topic like, I mean, at one point he said, hey, you know, being divorced is tough, you know, for people. And my parents had experienced that. So, I mean, he always spoke to me. Something simple, you know, a little column. Always spoke to me in my life. The next person was, oh boy, that's going to be, you get a little history of Pastor Eric. So I was a Boy Scout, and I became an Eagle Scout, but in my younger years, I may have struggled with not understanding fully, because I was an only child, perhaps, that you know, when there's money laying around, let's say, and you're in a Boy Scout camp, and it's in someone else's tent, not your tent, and you decide that $10 seems like a good amount for me to have, and it's just sitting right there, if I take that, you know, no one's going to know. I mean, that's the son of a pilot. You know, and back then, pilots, that was, you know, the top job on the Camino Island anyway. And so I may have taken a $10 bill. I may have taken it. And for some reason, I was not sneaky enough, apparently, because then one of the scout leaders, who happened to be that pilot, said to me, came to me at one point very privately, and he said, you know, Eric, I know you're starting to go to church. And he didn't believe in God at all. But he was very respectful of my reverence, trustworthy, the love for family, courtesy, kindness, reverent, you know. But he talked about that first point of the scout law. He talked about trustworthiness and said, you know, we're kind of like a family here. And it's really not a good idea to steal, first of all, or take things. If you did it, he didn't accuse me. He just said, you know, if you did it or knew of someone who did, you know, maybe a good thing might be that could find its way back. And that would be a good thing. And that's all he said. Now, you know, it found its way back. And I stole some stamps one other time at Spouse Rights, but that's a whole different story. That was going to save that for later, so I didn't quite have it out of me yet. But boy, Bill Cole changed my life. You know, here was this man who could have judged me, could have, you know, I could have spent, but with wisdom. And that's part of what a prophetic voice is, a truth-speaking voice. Frequently, it comes from a place of wisdom. And whether you're 25 or 45 or 105 or sometimes 5, that you know it. You know this is the truth, and this is the truth for me. And like I said with the kids, these are the moments where God provides. This is what Jesus is saying. I want to gather you all. I know who you are. I know you're lost and lonely. This Luke is the gospel of the L's, as Pastor David likes to say. Lost, lonely, least, little. My next wisdom moment came in high school. I am my size minus some pounds. So, but I thought I was pretty big, and I was, you know, I was the biggest in my class, or, you know, one of the biggest. And it was my junior year, and I was taking English literature, and it was in Mr. Michelson's class, and he told me and another student, go get The Fall by Camus, because we're going to read that next. And, you know, yeah, Camus was great, and Camino Island, I mean, and Stan was great. Hey, good education. I used my dictionary a lot for that book. But, so we may, I'm not always as timely as others might like, apparently, when I was growing up. And so we didn't come back in a timely manner. And but we brought the books back. And I may have been slightly disrespectful to this teacher publicly. And I'd never been in a fight before. I'll take that back. I hit someone in the ear once in first grade, because this person said something mean to this girl. And that's the only time, and it felt horrible, so I've never hit anybody else ever again or never been in a fight. Except maybe technically at this moment in my English class, because we kind of continued to have a discussion, and he was a wrestling coach. And, you know, I was a basketball player. Basketball players think they know everything, but what I have learned is not compared to wrestlers and how contact works. And so, you know, this again was 1982 when things were different in school. So, and this person knew that maybe I didn't have a father figure, and so maybe I needed to learn some things about the physicality of men. And so we had a little scuffle, and, you know, just a wrestling scuffle. And eventually in the doorway, he took me to the ground and just made it clear, you know, you probably ought to think about respecting your teachers. And I said, you're right. And so that was another moment where I learned in a very real way from this man, who I'm thankful for, that, you know, just because I think I know everything, well, you know, what 16-year-old doesn't think they know everything? I don't. And that wisdom came to me. The biggest person... What's that?
Oh, yeah.
The next gift I received was Beth's dad. You know, Pastor Beth's dad. When I first met him, here was this guy who'd been working at Columbia Machine at that point, 20 years, you know, and he ended up working there 35 years. Every day, same machine, doing the same thing. You know, I can't imagine that. But I can imagine for him, because he was an amazing work ethic, family-oriented man who had to do what he had to do to provide for his family. He taught me so, so many things. But the thing he taught me was the power of this image of a hen gathering her chicks. Because, you know, Beth's brother is gay. And when he came out in the 80s, it was a little tougher time. And her dad struggled with that in the beginning. And when I was dating Beth, I saw that, you know. And in college, it's like, hey, I'm liberal. Hey, you know, let's watch how this goes. But what I saw was this man who, he loved his son, regardless. And he learned to love his son, regardless. And the power of this image of a parent, if you're a parent or a grandparent, I mean, you get that. If you feel that, you know that, you just want to love your son. You want him to be safe. You want him to do the right things. All of those wise things. And he embraced his son. And I remember the first time, and this was the first time that he brought a date, you know, another man. And for me, that was brand new. It's like, well, how's this going to work? And it was fantastic, because Bruce was respectful and joyous because his son was happy and was who he was made to be. And as I was thinking about that, that's how God works with us. Because in every one of these instances, I was little. I was lost. I was lonely. I felt like the least. And in all these moments, I was lifted up. It was as if Jesus said, through Bruce, and through Mr. Michelson, and through Billy Graham, and through Mr. Cole, and through my nephew, come on, Eric. I know. Just come on in. Come on in. I know who you are. I know what you need. I got you. I know you need that dictionary. I know you need to know what it means to be a man when you're a young man. I'm going to show you some ways. It's not going to be what you expect. I'm going to show you some ways. I'm going to show you what it's like to be a father when you're married in a way that's going to blow your mind. That's what this image is. That's what Jesus is getting at. That's the whole journey. Because a hen will die for their chicks. And that's what Jesus was pointing to. It's going to take this. I'm determined. I'm determined to teach the world that I am for you. That God is for you. The lost. The least. I will gather you all in. Because I love you. That's the message. That's the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen.